All right. No, I think it's on the side. Let me finish that. I'm having trouble getting in on my computer. Let me start this again. Hey there, everybody. Hopefully you are now seeing me again. Please post in the chat. I've been trying to get started. It's not working on my Zoom on my computer, and that didn't work. So I'm back on my phone. I thought it would be easier on the computer, but here I am. So post and tell me if you're seeing me. There might be a little delay as far as what I see and what you see. Yay, Hannah. Hi. Yep, you're seeing me good. All right. So sorry about that. I was outdoors trying to catch a little bit of the late evening, late afternoon sun before it went down. And apparently I didn't get overheated, but the computer did. Apparently I did too, because it looks like my hair got all wet and sweaty. But here we go. Yes, you can hear and see me. Good. So we're here to really talk about the metabolic reset, to answer any unanswered questions. Looked like when we went back over the log from yesterday that all of the questions had been answered. So yes, there's Anthony. Hi, Anthony. So I see Holly and Anthony. And we had answered all the questions that came in yesterday during the call. But what I had discovered was that there were a bunch of you that submitted questions on our form, and you'd done that during the day yesterday, which means I didn't get to see it. I didn't even know they were there, because I start my day usually at 9 o'clock and go all the way through till late afternoon when we have our call. So if you submit a question to me that's as one of those forums the day of, I'm not going to see it. So I highly recommend that if you want to do that and give me some of your lab numbers and really give me a good idea of what's going on and ask a question, that you set up to do that the day before, at least, if not a couple of days before, and that way we'll do it. So I will take time to answer some of those questions. I'm looking to see a lot of people were on earlier and we got bumped off. So hopefully you guys will come back. Quiet mode turned on. What does that mean? Swipe left to reveal comments and reactions. Oh yeah, I want to see comments and reactions. So I know that earlier we had Linda Liu and we had Heather and Pam and a whole bunch of other people. So here I am now. So if you have any questions for me, go ahead and just type them in to the chat, the comments field on Facebook, and I'll get to see them and I'll answer them here and live. And what I'm going to do while we're waiting for some other folks to come on is to just go ahead and just talk about, or I'm going to ask you, are you excited to start the metabolic reset? Yeah, there's Linda Liu. Sorry, my phone overheated and I couldn't get back on. I couldn't even get back on the computer, so I had to come indoors. So I'm here, and I think Linda Liu, you had submitted one of those forms, so I'll look at that. There's Amy. Hi, Amy. What brand of berberine do I recommend? Here's the deal about brands. I have my favorite brands, and they're all posted in a booklet that I gave you, which is right there in the very beginning of Foundations, called the Startup. I think it's just called the Startup Supplements, Startup Supplies Guys, or something like that. And everything is listed in there. And if you go to this store that we set up at Doctor's Supplement Store, we actually have a lot of those outlined there. But, you know, brands, I mean, I don't want to spend a lot of time on calls when you can get it in there. Thorne is always a good deal. Seeking Health, if they have it, is a good deal. So you want to go to a high quality supplement company that doesn't use fillers and binders in their capsules. And that's what we've vetted, and that's what we've put into that guide. So I'd go ahead and look in that guide. I personally have used Thorn Berber Plus or Berber 500, which is 500 milligram capsules. I prefer a tincture, and I've used that from, I think, Ecological Formulas or something like that. There's a couple that have it. Okay. So yeah, thank you, Amy. Michelle. Hi, Michelle. Oh, Mahela. Sorry. I looked quick and I just saw Michelle, reading from a distance too. So we're going to start tomorrow and this afternoon, well, probably this morning, maybe around 10 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 o'clock, Eastern. I sent out an email that basically gave you the scoop on that we're going to begin tomorrow. And that I'll be just automatically, everybody will get tagged to start in that sequence of the metabolic reset. Whoops, I got to plug my phone. In charge. That's why I was trying to use my computer as well. All right, let me plug it in. Oh, there we go. There we go. All right. So we're basically going to start. You'll get at somewhere about 9 o'clock in the morning. I think it's 9 Central. So somewhere in the morning, you know, pretty early in the morning, you'll get a message from me that says, hey, ready to start. And it's a motivational and inspirational message. Every single day, I've got a really short one with a little audio that I recorded. And people call them the love notes, the metabolic reset love notes, because it's really just bringing you on and telling you some of the emotional things that people hit at certain points throughout the process so that you know that you're not alone. And if you decide that at any point you say, I want to restart this, you can just click a button on the website. That's why it was another reason I was hoping I could get this. Let me just look to see if I can get it going. I was hoping to get it going on my computer so I could share my screen with you and show you the stuff on the website. But on the website and the metabolic reset page, there's a page that says 30-day messages, and there's a place where you can start your messages. So if you decide that you want to stop them, there is a link in the email I sent today. So save that email, please. And so all you have to do is go into that email and click that link, and please click it from the email. Don't try to copy and paste it, because when you click that link, it tags you to say stop. So there's two actual links in there. One is to restart, which you could do at any point in time. Say a week from now, you go, oh my God, something came up. I'm going to be traveling. I'm not going to be able to keep doing this. I want to restart it. Or I blew it. I went out and I had a horrible meal and I want to restart it. Not that you have to, but if you wanted to restart it, you can. I recommend you just go all the way through. Just go all the way through. And if you want to do it again, once you're finished, you can restart those messages. So you can restart the messages. You can stop the messages at any time. But most people are just going to keep going with it. So I'm tagging everybody to get those messages. And, really, so a couple of questions came up again today. Somebody posted in the Facebook earlier that I just read this more carefully and it said that I should test all the foods on the list before the reset starts, and I haven't tested all the foods. Maybe that was a misunderstanding. Okay. I didn't mean you have to test every food. Maybe you don't like some of those foods. Maybe you know some of those foods are not good for you and you have a problem with and you're just going to avoid. So I don't want you to test everything on there. I definitely don't want you to test anything in the red, because just leave it off. You know, there's no reason, except in the early stages when I said, don't change anything. Just see what your regular diet's doing to you. But then, the stuff in the yellow, for sure, if there's anything in there that you feel like you want to eat during the reset, test it. So test it today before you get started. So if you're wondering if winter squash is going to do you any good, or cooked carrots or something like that, then test those things. And what I recommend is that you print that paper out. And when you do, you cross off any of the things that you found that raise your sugar, right? So just cross them off. And then you have this working document that's yours. I'm just going to try again to start this on the computer and see if it goes, see if it'll let me. You know what? I can't. Because if I do that, then it won't let me start a second one because I'm already in there. Yeah, that might be why it didn't let me do it before. Anyway, next time, I'll come on again, maybe over the weekend at some point. Come on and just do a real quick show you those papers. And if you haven't watched yesterday's replay, it was a good call. I did about 45 minutes at the beginning of a slideshow to just take you through the different pieces. And I show you that page. It's a really nice page. The only caveat I will say about that is I didn't put every food known to mankind in there, especially if you live in a different country and you've got some unusual and exotic greens that we don't get over here. But really, in the column that says non-starchy vegetables, just add any of them in there that you know are
your own favorite non-starchy vegetables. And what do I mean by non-starchy vegetables? I mean vegetables that grow above ground, because the ones that grow underground are generally speaking, they're starchy. Things that are starchy would be winter squash, sweet potatoes, yams. Those are actually tubers, but we'll just say that they're root vegetables. Potatoes, all those sorts of things are the starchier things. Some things are medium starch, and some people have an issue with it. Somebody said they have an issue with jicama. It has a little bit more starch than, say, kale might. So anything that's not on the list, I'll tell you, anything that's green leafy is, you know, if you tested spinach, it's probably going to be fine. Wait, it says low power mode. Why? I had this plugged in. Okay. Hopefully my phone doesn't die. So here's the deal. Be gentle with yourself. Just be super gentle with yourself. This is not about a deprivation diet. It's not about you, just killing yourself and stressing over everything you eat, because the stress will raise your sugar. I'm going into this too. I'm doing a reset as well. I traveled last week. My blood sugars got off from I don't know what. A few foods that might have been questionable or might have had ingredients I didn't know what was in it. Turnips tend to be a little starchier too, Pat. And welcome, Pat. So I got off. My sugars finally today, I got my numbers down into the 70s, and usually my numbers are always in the 70s, and they just had been staying high. Ever since I actually got home and had more control over my food, it stayed 100 and below, 104, I think, at the highest. But when I was traveling, I ate things that looked innocent enough, right? At a reception for my son's graduation. I ate the skewers of vegetables, and somebody pointed out to me today, she said, well, did they have a marinade on them? And I went, oh, I bet they did. She said, it probably had sugar in it, because most times when people marinate things, they put sugar in the marinade, or they put balsamic vinegar, which can have sugar. So I realized that that's probably why my sugars went up to like almost 150. So it took me a long time to get back. So be gentle with yourself. If something triggers you, you know, do all the things you know that can bring it down, like lots of heart math, movement, exercise, and good sleep. Even eating like an avocado will often bring it down. In fact, when mine went up last week, I ate avocado in a salad afterwards and it came down. So it may seem counterintuitive to eat something when your sugar goes up, but you can usually bring it down. You can also bring it down with some of your supplements. So like berberine, take a shot of berberine. Another one that works really well with that is maitake mushroom. And maitake mushroom you can get in a number of ways. You can get it as a tincture and just take a couple of droppers full. Someone in our program a couple of years ago said she couldn't take that at bedtime because it made her sugar drop so low. She woke up in the middle of the night and her sugar was super low. So she learned how to take just small amounts of it to keep her sugar steady. So maitake mushroom, you can get it in powdered form. Z Natural Foods or Mountain Rose Herbs usually has those things. And then Mountain Rose Herbs has these beautiful maitakes that are like about this big that are dried. And I love them. I just got them in. They were out of stock for a long time, but I just got them in, and I like to soak them and then put them and make a salad out of it. Eating nuts seems to lower. Good. Linda Lou found out that eating nuts seems to lower your blood sugar. That's good. You know, the fat in it may be helpful, you know, to get it to go down. So there's any number of things, and we all are a little different. So I was telling people yesterday on the call, if you were there, forgive me for repeating myself, but it bears repeating. I did make a 30-day menu plan because everybody wants a menu plan. But here's the thing. I find that nobody ever follows a menu plan. You use it as a guideline and then you pop your own recipes in there. But there is a menu plan. It may not work for everybody. You may have to alter it. Maybe you get a tummy ache from chia seeds and you can't eat those for breakfast. Maybe you do better if you have a smoothie in the afternoon and skip breakfast and do intermittent fasting. Yeah, now I'm sweating again. It's funny. Yeah, so all of that stuff, and this whole idea is to just allow your body to sink into the pleasure of food that keeps you nice and steady. Yeah. So turnips for some, like I find, Pat, that the starchier veggies, if I cook them, they raise my sugar. So cauliflower even has a little bit more starch than say kale. And if I cook cauliflower and eat a lot of it, I get have problem. Ooh, Anthony said he found fresh organic maitakes at Whole Foods. Oh man, I'm going to have to check that out. I love maitakes and they're so therapeutic. They're so medicinal. So it's food as medicine and they can help bring your sugars down. What was I saying right before that? Oh yeah. So sometimes you might find that a food works for you raw. Like I can eat as many carrots as I want, nice and grated on a salad. But at the minute I cook them, they start to raise my sugar. So I can only eat small amounts. Same thing with beets. I haven't tested turnips cooked, but I can do turnips raw. I sometimes like to thinly slice them and make them like an hors d'oeuvre bottom and put a little bit of guacamole or a nut pate on top and then sprinkle what are those things called? Sprouts. Only some whole foods. Yeah. I'm going to have to check to see of ours. Now for us, we have in our town, Austin, which is a town of under 1 million people. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 6 whole foods. And there might be a 7th. It's crazy how you can't go very far without getting to a Whole Foods. In addition to the Whole Foods, there's at least 3 Sprouts markets. There's at least 3 natural grocers. So here we are at a dozen Whole Foods supermarkets. There's 2 of a local co-op called Wheatsville Co-op. So now we're at 14. And I think there's one other New Leaf or something like that. I don't remember. But 14 Whole Foods supermarkets in one town of under 1 million people, right? So there's demand here and they're always packed. In other towns, you have to drive an hour. Like in Houston, where we lived in Houston, we lived up north of it. We had to drive 45 minutes to an hour to get to a Whole Foods. And yeah, there were 3 Whole Foods in the downtown area, but not up in the area we lived in. So we're very fortunate here to have access to lots and lots of organic produce. We also have farmers markets just about, I would say, at least 4 or 5 days a week. You'll find a farmer's market somewhere. So look for farmer's markets as well. Sometimes there's growers there that are small growers that aren't officially certified organic because of the cost and the hoops they have to run through. But you talk to the farmers, and I've met some really ethical farmers, and they say, oh, look, I wish I could afford to do the certification, but I can't. We're a small outfit, but this is what we do to make sure that we don't have pesticide residues on our food. So, you know, you just kind of get to know the farmers. So I'll keep reading the chat, but I'm also going to open up this for anybody that's here. And if anybody's on here, and I don't see any of my team on here, I don't see Lynn or Marsha or anybody. But if somebody wouldn't mind just jotting down people's names and post it in the chat, like just put it there. In the comment, I guess I could do the same. I just don't know how to do that and talk at the same time. But if you don't mind doing that, if as I mentioned somebody's name, just put their name in the comment and tag them. That way they know that I'm talking about them at that particular point in time. And I know Anne Mara, age 67, is looking to lose a bunch of weight, is looking to, you know, body fat percent go down. We don't have any numbers on fasting glucose or any of the lab numbers. Her fasting glucose that she's tested, highest was 122. So that's, you know, it's in the diabetic range. The lowest is 104. So you're really skirting that area of diabetes. And the average is about 113. So while you're up in that area, definitely in the area of what they would call insulin resistance. And this is Anne, M-A-R-R-A. Let me look again. M-A-R-R-A. Yeah, you're in that area of where they would call you insulin resistant, not quite diabetic. The numbers, you have the ability to shift this really quickly. Bedtime glucose is about 106, so you're waking up a lot higher. The highest you've seen after a meal was 141, and that was on your glucose tolerance meal, meaning had a high glucose load. Thank you, Holly. And the lowest you've seen is 91. So, okay, so we're looking to get some of that down, mostly 127. The average is about 100. Good. So good question. Same food all over the map. So things are all over. So you're a little bit, you don't have any ketone numbers. Okay, so 6.5 hours of sleep, that could be affecting your glucose tolerance. Remember that even one night of bad sleep is going to is going to interrupt your glucose metabolism the next day and make you insulin resistant. So if you're consistently there, you may be able to reverse this just by like really getting yourself into bed and staying there for 8 hours. Even if you can't fall asleep, you're at least in bed. Pat Murphy says, chromium polynicotinate, how many micrograms to bring down blood sugar? Also taking this, will metal build up and can this be tested in SIM kind of metal testing? So the studies have been done on 800 micrograms a day. I usually say if you can do it, 200 per meal, but if you can't, you can take it all together. I think if your sugar goes up and you want to bring it down, I probably go for about 400. You're usually going to sleep between 10 and 11:30. Time of your last meal, 7 o'clock, so that's good. How many hours apart? 4 to 5. How many bursts? 4 so far. Great, you're working up on your bursts. What other exercise? Walking every other day. Okay, so she says her glucose is up after. If you're experiencing that your glucose goes up after you exercise, you might be going at more of a intense load than you should. Now, I'm going to caveat that. If it goes up by 5 to 10 points, I wouldn't be concerned. But if it goes up like 20 points or more, what's happening is your body's perceiving this as, oh my God, I need more glucose, need more glucose. And it's going into gluconeogenesis, possibly breaking down muscle to create new glucose. So just slow it down a little bit. Slow down your pace a little bit. How many heart math breaks? 1 to 3. Okay. So I'm going to recommend that's a great place for improvement too. Just increase that up to, you know, 2-3 consistently. And when you're at 3 consistently, try to get it to 5. With your heart math breaks for everyone, I would recommend that you do them before each meal because it's going to help your meal get digested better. Because if you start your meal with a high level of cortisol, you're just guaranteeing that your glucose is going to go up. And your food is not going to get digested well. Is chromium polynicotinate in the blood? I'm going for surgery and I can't have any blood thinners. Not that I know of. You might ask your doctor if that's okay. When I went in for surgery on my elbow, broken elbow a couple of years ago that had to be surgically repaired, I had a long conversation with the anesthesiologist because I wasn't going to do anesthesia. I was just doing a local. And I said, what supplements can I take? What can I? And the only thing he recommended not taking within the 24 hours before and after surgery were omega-3s in high amounts because they do thin the blood. He was fine with vitamin C up to 3 grams. I didn't ask him about chromium, but I did do chromium up until then and after that. I didn't do it the 24 hours around the surgery because I wasn't doing much of anything then. So I would check with the doctor, do a Google search, look on drugs.com because they have a lot of supplements there. And they may have it and look up chromium polynicotinate. Does it thin the blood? But it doesn't as far as I know. All right, so let's get back to Mary. So the question is, first time testing glucose, some meals have no peak, graph essentially flat. Why? Some bounce around. Is that normal? Yeah, so when it's bouncing around, it just is about you having some glucose dysregulation. The low sleep can contribute to that. So right now we're in the testing phase. We're just looking and observing. And so I would say for you, since you're already in that higher glucose range already, then what I would recommend that you do is start your metabolic reset just with everything in the green. All the non-starchy vegetables, the whole food plant-based fats. If you're not vegetarian and you want to do some fish or whole pastured, you know, organically raised meat products, that would be there too. But I would stay away from the yellow and the red columns on that metabolic chart. What other questions? Most tend slightly or significantly lower than the start. Okay, so here's the thing. If that's happening, Anna, for anybody, if you're finding that your starting glucose and your ending glucose are different in that your ending is way lower, then you probably are overproducing insulin. You're producing too much insulin and it's, you know, allowing the sugar to go up and then crash, boom, it goes way down. So you didn't say what your low, I think your low ever was not that low. It was 91. So it's not like you're going into a major hypoglycemic effect. But if you go up to 127 and then down to 91, that actually might not be bad. That might not be terrible. It depends if that's like, if that's at, say the 2 hour mark or the 3 hour mark. So I just pay attention to it because things are going to start to even out as you go through the metabolic reset. Glucose often higher after exercise, but one time it dropped 28 points. Check to see what you did differently when it dropped versus when it raised. Was there a difference in the amount of sleep you got the day before? Was there a difference in the intensity and the duration? The glucose should really technically drop. If our glucose is high to start, it should drop when we exercise because the body can use that available glucose. If you start with it really low, it's not going to drop after exercise because the body is smart and it's going to go, no, it's already too low. Let me go get some new glucose from the storage and it might go up. And that could be what's happening too. But for you, it sounds like it might be that, you know, that's a good exercise regime. So see what you did that time. Yeah. So 5 years ago, fasting glucose tested at 98 and you wanted lower. Yes. And so here's the thing. Very low carb, high animal protein, good fat diet with metabolic specialist. 3 months, it was 96, 9 months. Yeah. So that high animal fat is not a good idea. Our diet is more moderate fat, you know, whatever fat your body tolerates, mostly whole food, plant-based fat, small amount of meat and lots of veggies. And I've found over the last, you know, 27 years that I've been working with people on this stuff, that tends to work. We get a lot of people who've been on a traditional paleo ketogenic diet with lots of meat and it just doesn't work for them. Not long-term. A1C started at 5.6. Yeah. Yeah. So that diet didn't work for you. So do ours. Yeah, don't do the meat. It's not fine. Do what we're doing here. Go through the metabolic reset. Stick to mostly the foods on the green unless you've tested them. But I would say for you, just work with the stuff on the green. Okay? All right. So that was Anne. Let's see if there's any other questions here. Okay, nope. That was Holly with the question. I'm going to go to the next person. And it was Sharon Jull, age 77, height 5'4", weight 130, target weight 125. So not, you know, just wanting to reduce your waist size a little bit. We don't have any lab numbers yet, but the fasting glucose you're seeing is 201. It's the highest, the lowest is 71. So that's a big variation. So what we want to be looking at as you're going through while you're testing, we would have been looking at, like, what are those things that are causing it to go up to the 204? If the fasting is on average 89, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. Post-meal glucose highest was 121, lowest is 86. I'm curious about that fasting 201. Because that seems a little high. So the food that's suspected is raising is quinoa. So, okay. So throughout the metabolic reset, just stay away from quinoa. Just stick to the non-starchy stuff. Ketones, you've gotten up to 2.3 and down to 1.1. So you are getting into ketosis, which is good. You're sleeping 7 hours. See if you can bump that sleep up to 8 hours or even 9. There was one study I read. There was this guy who had blood sugars in the 119s on average. So that's insulin resistant, almost diabetic. And they put him on a regime. They put him on a sleep regime. Yeah, Sharon, Jull. Thank you, Holly. Appreciate it. Jull. Let me look again. I think it's Jull. Yeah, Jull. Thanks for doing that, Holly. Appreciate that. So the thing was that they put him on a sleep regime, and that's all they did. That's all they did. He went from sleeping like whatever he was sleeping before to consistently measuring that he was in bed and sleeping 9 hours a night. And within like 8 or 10 days, his fasting glucose dropped dramatically. It was down in the 90s. Still not exactly where we want it to be, but way better. And then he had something come up where he slept, dropped his sleep down to 7 hours one night, and it started going up. It started going up, and then it kept going up. And even when he got back to 8 hours of sleep, it took – you know, his sugar kept going up and it got back up into the 100s and 110s. And then once he went back to the 9 hours of sleep, it dropped back down. So it makes a huge difference. There's a ton of studies that talk about even one night of bad sleep. So let's try to get, at least during the metabolic reset, let's try to see if you can at least stay in bed for 8 hours, 11 o'clock. So try to push it back to 10 o'clock. Last meal is 8, so that's 3 hours in a difference. 5 to 6 hours between meals, you're doing great. And the bursts are 1 a day. So see if you can bump those bursts up, like little by little. Don't overdo it. Don't overtax your body, but bump those up to like I would bump it up to 2, do that for a couple of days, and 3, then 4, then 5, then 6, whatever. Pickleball. I heard about pickleball recently. One of my cousins was telling me about that. It sounds very interesting. It sounds pretty, what's the word, vigorous. So congratulations. How many heart math breaks? 1 per day meditation for 20 minutes. So here's what I would recommend, because usually meditation is beginning of the day, the end of the day. It's one discrete situation. We want to get you used to detecting when you go sympathetic, which is excitement, fear, all those things. Breathe. Go to the beach or wherever your special place is. And then keep going. It doesn't take long. Before each meal, when I grew up, we said grace before each meal. This is similar to that. You know, mom and dad had the right idea there in getting us to say grace, because it wasn't just good for gratitude and spirituality. It was actually good for health as well. Michelle, Mihaela says, I couldn't test all food, so I have to follow your menus. That's fine. But I don't have all ingredients. Could replace, yeah, so you can definitely replace anything, right? You can replace anything you want to. So what you can get, like maybe you couldn't get bok choy, but you can get spinach. And maybe you can't get arugula, but you could get something else. Maybe there's a local green where you're living that you can get. Yeah, absolutely can substitute. Yes. Oh boy, Anthony says sleeping an hour and a half at a time, waking up and peeing. Repeat, never more than 2 hours consecutive. What should I do? Okay. Have you, Anthony, have you gone through the sleep module yet? Give me a second. I'll come back and finish this with Sharon. Let's see. Okay. So upping that, Sharon, just start doing it before each meal, a little mini meditation. Breathe, belly breath, like you do during meditation. It's great that you're meditating 20 minutes. I do the meditation either 10 or 20 minutes in the morning, and then I do my heart math breaks throughout the day. Okay, so you have brain fog, hot flashes, and want to reduce waist size. Okay, good. All right, so I think we got Sharon. Let's see. All right, I'm going to go to the next one while I wait for Anthony to respond. Sharon, Joel is back again. It's the same. Oops. It looks like she filled it in twice. Let me see if there's some additional information in the question. Nope. Okay. So that was easy. I have an easy button. That was easy. All right. So this is Viking Princess. Viking Princess. Terry Salvador. So it looks like you have about 5 pounds to lose. Your body fat was 27, up from 26. I would say, yeah, this is a common thing. She said, I'm not gaining weight, but losing muscle mass. Yeah. And, you know, ideally you want to be 20 to 25% as a female who's not an athlete. I like to keep my sugars in the 15 to 17, not my sugars, my body fat percent. I'm probably a little high now after traveling. And you want to resolve the high A1C. Okay. So your fasting glucose 90, your A1C 5.7. So that's a little on the high side. That's basically says your average throughout the day is about 119 according to the charts. The insulin is 3.5. That's a good one. Okay. So the insulin's good. The A1C is a little high and the fasting glucose is a little on the high side. You're seeing numbers that are decent for fasting, 95 to 77. 86 is your average. Bedtime highest is 112. Lowest is 84. Post-meal, so you're getting some meals that are getting you up too high, 131. So you want to look at what is it. Yeah, Terry Salvador, thank you, Holly. You want to look at what is it that did that. She says pork and blini. Okay, so you leave out the pork and blini. And 6 hours a night sleep. So we really have to work on the sleep. Those of you who are having trouble with the sleep, We'll review the sleep module. In fact, I'm going to go out of order on them. And on our next call next week, I'm going to review the sleep stuff, the major stuff. But then if you haven't, say, gotten to module 4, which is sleep, you can cheat and you can get all the modules open by just going and checking off all the things at the end of each module. Even if you haven't done it, you can do that. That'll open the next module. Then you can go back and uncheck them so you know personally what you need to still do. So it won't take away the module access. So that'll give you access to the next modules. So getting to sleep, it's great. You're going to bed by 8:30, but what's happening if you're only sleeping 6 hours, that means you're waking up at 2 a.m. and staying up. So we need to look at why, like what's waking you up. You're doing great with your meal spacing. You're doing great with your bursts. You can up the, it's 4 now, you know, work on getting it up to 8. You're doing Stairmaster. Oh, 6 days a week. Yeah. Wow. Weight 6 days a week, ballet twice a week. You're very active. So I'm not concerned about the exercise there. Heart math breaks 3 a day. See if you can bring that up to 5. Right? So one at each meal and then one before you get up and one at bedtime, especially if your bedtimes tend to be a little higher, that can bring it down. This I'm not sure what to say about, Terry, because you say my blood sugar seemed more stable when I started testing a few weeks ago. I didn't have as many swings. Now I'm getting swings between 105 and 123, a half hour to 3 hours after eating. One time it was 106, 4 hours after eating. So I would be looking at what, if you're testing things, were you testing things that were out of the norm for you, different from what you normally would? Now, if they start to get unstable and you're eating the same foods, it could be that you're stressing over testing. And so we need to let go and relax and say, look, we're just observing so that we have information so that we can change. Quite often, my glucose will be 5 to 10 points lower right after a meal than when I started. So an explanation for that can be we have insulin gets produced or released in two phases, first phase, second phase. First phase gets released very quickly. As soon as the food hits your stomach, a release of some hormones from the gut, the gastric inhibitory protein and GLP-1, and they trigger the insulin response. So it sounds like you might be overproducing insulin on that first response. It goes down, then the sugar actually starts to come up, and it may be happening very quickly, which is actually not a bad thing. So if anybody notices that, like right after you start eating, your sugar goes down, it could just be that you have very strong phase one glucose insulin release. So if that happens and then the sugar goes up and then comes back down again, not a problem. But if that happens and then it goes way up and stays high, it could be that your pancreas is not able to kick in on that second phase. That could be it. Yeah. Okay, so let's just like do the reset. Figure out the foods, stay away from any of them that are suspect. And then if you're not getting the results just with the food, definitely consider the supplements. The three main ones are chromium polynicotinate, DHA, and magnesium. The doses are all in the guide. And then look at some other things, right? If you've had a problem for a long time, you've been dealing with this belly fat or whatever for a long time, look at things like berberine. Look at things like lipoic acid, olive leaf extract, inositol. Maitake is a good food. We talked about that earlier on the call. Like maitake tincture or maitake powder or maitake mushrooms, either dried where you reconstitute them with water and make a soup or as a fresh mushroom, which sometimes you can get. Okay. That was Terry, right? Yeah, Terry. So let's see who's next. We have a few more. We have Trisha Wolf. Okay. Let's see. So Trisha, your fasting glucose is 104. A1C is 5.4. Not terrible, but it would be nice if it was a little more. So this is Trisha Wolf. And these were done recently. We don't have a fasting insulin. The highest you've seen is 98, the lowest is 78, so that's a decent range. I'd like to see you get that highest one so that you're not seeing it above 90. Bedtime glucose is going up to 124, so I'd really be investigating that that dinner meal. Are you eating too much? Are you eating too fast? And, or are you eating high glycemic foods that are triggering it to go up? TRICIA. Yeah. Tricia Wolf. Yeah. So bedtime glucose post meal. Yeah. So we're a little high, and finding out that beans, fruit, and maybe Brazil nuts are problems. No keto numbers. Get 8 hours of sleep. Yay. Way to go. Going to bed between 10 and 11. Time of your last meal is 7 p.m. That's good. So you're leaving at least 3 hours between dinner and bedtime. Spacing 4 or 5 hours. You guys are good. Like, everybody's really doing well with the meal spacing. Only 2 bursts a day. So I would look at, upping that. You're doing yoga 4 times a week, which is not an aerobic exercise. So it's great for your spirit. It's great for your flexibility. It's great for relaxation, but you may want to add in a little bit of walking and then a few more bursts. So that's what you can work on throughout the reset, is increasing that. That's great. You're doing great. 2 HeartMath breaks. So yeah, the same thing, you know, even if it's just go into some yoga breath and a yoga pose in the middle of the day, before your meal, to make sure that you're in a state of relaxation for the meal. Good job. Okay, so you missed yesterday's call. So hopefully we'll post these. We'll post everybody's names and make sure that you see this. Okay, so you ordered supplements from the store, liquid magnesium, EPA, DHA, and chromium. Yay. Okay, cool. Great. I'm confused about serving size. According to the Mandelbach research, I take DHA 300, 2 tablets at breakfast. You can take it 2 tablets whenever. So, so yeah, that's the go. So 300 milligrams. It looks like 2 gels are that. So you can actually do the EPA DHA twice a day. You can do 2 in the morning and 2 at night, or middle of the day, however you want to do it. Yeah. So chromium is great. Do 200, at one at each meal and at bedtime. And if you skip some, just take more at bedtime. And magnesium is good. The bottle directions and the Mandelbach research. Yeah, the bottle directions are not geared towards the program. So I would use the directions that we gave you. Added 3 Brazil nuts to an all-veggie stir-fry, and it peaked at 114. That's not terrible, but I would say, you know, test it again. It's such a small increase. There may have been other things. It could have been just an error on the machine, you know, because they're not real precision machines. So I would test it again and see. And it's okay if you do that during the metabolic reset. If it goes up to 114, it's not going to be a big deal. Also, after the meal, my nose turned red as if I had a sunburn. So that sounds like an allergic reaction. So if it's the same stir fry you'd had before without that reaction, you added the Brazil nuts, they would be suspect. So I'd go back and eat the same stir fry again without the Brazil nuts and see if you have that reaction. And then I would I would test the Brazil nuts separately, you know, on another occasion, just start with one and see if you have that reaction. Had lentil and kale soup with stewed tomatoes and chicken broth. My blood sugar peaked at 108. Great. My blood sugar before was 74. If it had been 78, it would have peaked at 112. Not necessarily. This is the things we can't just do straight math when it comes to blood sugar. The body, when we start with a much lower number, if you start with your, like after a fast and you're in the 50s, 60s, whatever, you eat, whatever you eat is going to raise it up a whole bunch. So don't worry about the number, like the amount it raises it. If it stays below 110, don't worry about the amount. The only time you really need to worry about how much it's raising it is if you're starting out so close to 110 that it goes over 110. And then you compare the before and after. Example, let's say you started out with a 105. That would mean you'd have to eat a meal that would only raise your sugar 5 points. And that's rare, right? So you would look at, well, what did it go up after 105 is where it started. It went up to 120. That's only a 15-point increase. That's fine. Okay. But if it had gone up to 170, right, that's a much bigger increase. So with the 105, I wouldn't want you to go much higher than 130, right? And then if it went higher than that, I'd be suspicious and test that food again.
You guys are really listening. It's great. Yeah. So I'm going to just clarify. The rule is don't eat the things that raise your blood glucose more than 25 points is if it's going above 110, right? And it's consistently, like if you're diabetic and you started out with a fasting glucose of 120, you're not going to eat meals that keep it below 110. But I do want you to look at the meals that keep it, that don't go up more than 25.
So what is happening when blood glucose rises and falls? And an optimal blood glucose, what would the ups and downs look like when I eat a meal? Yeah, this is good. So what happens, she wants to know what how insulin really works. So insulin is a carrier for glucose. On your cells, there's little receptor channels, and the glucose cannot pass into those cells unescorted. It needs insulin to get in. So the insulin binds to the glucose and carries it into the cells. But when we have a lot of glucose in this blood and the pancreas produces a lot of insulin, then those cell receptors get, they basically say, no, not enough's enough, too much. Or that they get damaged because you're eating omega-6 out of balance with omega-3, or you're eating inflammatory foods, or you're under a lot of stress and the stress response is producing a lot of inflammatory cytokines, or you have food allergies, or you're eating hydrogenated fats or oxidized heated oils. All those things can damage those receptors, or if you're exposed to a lot of pesticides, which is why we say eat as organic as much as possible. So then those receptors get damaged or they get resistant and they won't allow the insulin in anymore, which means it won't allow the glucose in anymore and it just sits in the blood and goes up. That's what's happening. Ideally, if you had perfectly normal blood glucose, you started out at 85 in the morning and before a meal, that would be ideal. You went up to 110 and then you came back down, or 100 is even better. A lot of folks can maintain that tight control of only 15 point raise. So that would be ideal. Difficulty with, constipation. If I don't follow my general routine of at least 3/4 of my weight in water, sufficient fiber from greens and 3 tablespoons flax, as well as, 1 to 2 cups of coffee and 3 dates. I no longer drink coffee or eat dates, and it seems my peristalsis action is dead. I just heard an interview with a functional doctor that castor oil helps with peristalsis. Yes, so here's the thing. When you're constipated, we want to know why, right? We want to know why. First of all, 3/4 of your weight in water may not be enough. We always talk about doing at least, 3/4. Sorry, that's right. I usually do half. So 3/4 of your weight, that's fine. The flax, so it sounds like the coffee, probably not the dates. The coffee is a stimulant. It's actually a stimulant, and that's why it stimulates the peristalsis. So what else? You want to know why, first of all. So if it's simply a gut issue where you're not getting the mobility, there is an herb called Trifala, T-R-I-F-A-L-A. And there's a supplement, also another one that works well, is a supplement from Pure Encapsulations called Motil Pro, M-O-T-I-L-P-R-O. And that has nutrients in it that can help move it along. Trifala is an Ayurvedic herb, a combination of 3 herbs, that can help move and improve the gastric motility. But other things, like if you've got a vagus nerve that's not functioning properly, the vagus nerve is part of your parasympathetic nervous system, your calm nervous system, and you're in a lot of fight flight, then you're not going to be able to get the vagus nerve to stimulate the digestive tract. So spacing the meals is supposed to help a lot. The water will help a lot. The coffee is really just a Band-Aid. It's not providing anything. My guess is it's the Band-Aid, not the dates, that were providing that. You might try prunes, because prunes don't always raise the blood sugar, but definitely test the prunes. Prunes actually have a side effect of being a good for osteoporosis and improving bone loss. Okay, I don't know why I am not getting, let me just check here. Oh, wait, I'm plugged into the wrong side though. Okay, let me do this. Is that finished? Why is my... I don't want to lose power here, so let me just plug this in. We're almost done anyway. Let's see, did that do it? Okay, now it's connected again. All right, so, you know, for those of you with constipation issues, it's super important because you're recycling toxins when you don't have bowel movements. The water is certainly good. Trifala is good. So there's some things, too, you can do to stimulate the vagus nerve. Gargling, like really hard gargling, so it brings tears to your eyes, tongue depressor in your throat, loud singing, coffee enemas, those sorts of things. Thank you. Thank you so much, Holly. Yeah. And Amy said she will. Thank you so much, Amy. Anyway, so for constipation, sometimes it's a liver issue. Sometimes it's a sluggish liver. And we really want to be looking at that. And the, you know, liver moves toxins out. Liver moves toxins into the bile, and then the bile releases. So really supporting the liver. And we can talk about that on another call. We don't really have time to go into that right now. Mahela, this evening I ate mushrooms, tomatoes, dill, blood sugar 120. Mushrooms are on the good list. So blood sugar was high because what did it start at, Mahela? Did it start, how much did it go up? What did it start at? If I could find my country chrome polynicotinoid, I would take. Okay. Yeah, I would say try berberine. See if that helps. But it can be if you ate too fast or you ate too much. But it could be something in that meal. But I don't know where it started. So if it started at 110 and went to 120, that's not a big deal. But if it started at 80 and went to 120, that is. Okay. Oh, so she asked about castor oil. Castor oil can definitely help. You can do castor oil packs, which is more recommended, on the belly. You make a big, big piece of cotton, a triple thickness of cotton flannel, and you put it over your belly, soak it with castor oil. Taking it internally can definitely increase peristalsis, but it might increase it a lot. There are a couple of herbs that you can try. There's a thing from Energetics called Colon Clear. My favorite natural laxative was always Health Force Nutritionals had one, but I just don't see it. It's just not on the market anymore. It's been out of stock forever. So, but things like Senna and all can be aggravating, but you can certainly give that a try instead of the coffee. They're going to be less aggravating than the coffee. Okay. So let's see who's next. Almost there, guys. Tanya, I don't have a last name. Age 46. Fasting glucose 79, A1C 4.9, fasting insulin 2.5. Those numbers are perfect, Tanya. The highest you've seen is 89 fasting. The lowest is 73. That's perfect. 82 is the average. Bedtime 104, 83. Bedtime 93. Post-meal is 140. So you're maintaining all these really great bedtime stuff and all, but there's certain foods that are raising it. So, your average is there. So cassava chips. Yes. I'm not surprised at that. Cooked cabbage. Yeah. Interesting. Cooked zucchini and yellow squash, mushrooms, raw sugar, snap peas, raw carob, and green apple. All right. So now you know that those are the suspect foods. You're probably fine with raw cabbage, fine with raw zucchini. It's the first time I've seen somebody respond to cooked zucchini. But definitely cook cabbage because it's definitely sweeter. Not doing ketones. Sleep is where you need to get some work here. So 6.4, if you were to get up to 7 and then 8, I mean, it's going to make a huge difference in your response. It looks like you're leaving mostly about, you know, the 3 hours between dinner and bedtime. It looks like your meals are 3.5 to 4, longer if possible. So I would just see if you could stretch that out. I don't remember what you said your weight was. If you need to lose weight, gain weight, or stay the same. So you don't need to lose weight. So I don't think that's going to be such a big problem. Okay. So orthopedic problems. So with the bursts, don't push your body into a place where you're going to get hurt. But, you know, sometimes things where you're doing your arms like this, you know, sitting in a chair, and don't make them so intense, right? It's just, but doing 30 seconds of exercise can definitely be good. But definitely talk to your physical therapist. Walking is great. Heart math, meditate 20 minutes in the morning and try to take 6 deep breaths before each meal. Okay, so just create this way to remember it before each meal, right? Sometimes it's, you know, keeping this little picture of a heart in your kitchen by where your food is being prepared and then putting it in next to your plate when you sit down to eat. That could be helpful too. Sleep is worse in the last 2 weeks. It's when I started eliminating foods that were clearly driving up my sugar. I've ended up being quite low carb. Historically struggled with sleep, but before I was actually doing real well. having good nights with an occasional bad one. Now I've mostly bad with occasional good. So it sounds like the carbs, something in the carbs was keeping you, you calm. Eating mostly cooked vegetables and under eating because you lost 3 pounds. Well, the 3 pounds, you know, losing weight can definitely, to see orange glasses, no bright lights, cold room, turn off Wi-Fi, magnesium helps a lot. The only thing I can change, see that change is what I'm eating. I would try maybe looking at changing the consistency of that dinner meal. So if you are going to have carbs during the day, have them during that dinner meal. It may be that you're a fast metabolizer and so you're using up the fuel and then in the middle of the night you're waking up unable to sleep because you're having problems with keeping steady. So you might want to look at just having a couple of, seeing what tolerance you can have with some carbs at that evening meal and see if it makes a difference. Okay. Yeah, you need to get that sleep back on track. Have you gone through, it sounds like you've done a lot of stuff, some of the herbs, but it really does sound like you've identified that it's less carbs might actually be causing a problem. So I would see about having some carbs during that. So Mahala, you answered me about 120 at peak, stayed for an hour or more. What was it when you started? What was it when you started? And if you started at 110, 120 is not high. So that's don't eliminate those foods. It's just we're going to work at getting that lower number. And, you know, we have 30 days for a metabolic reset. You guys are really good, and a lot of you are getting great results during the testing, but not everybody gets great results during the testing. You have to actually, you know, do the consistency. Next, we have Kathy Lannon, L-A-N-N-O-N. She has diabetes. Her fasting glucose is 144. Hemoglobin A1C is 70. We don't have a fasting insulin. It'd be a good thing to get your doctor to order for you, dear. Doesn't look like you're doing post-meal numbers. You're getting 7 hours of sleep. Try getting 8, at least being in bed 8. 7 p.m. for the last meal. Spacing your meals, that's great. Not doing bursts yet, so I would start to get the bursts in, you know, review all the things and just start adding it. Throughout the metabolic reset, just look at the summary chart that I put you together, and then I go through it and start adding that in. That's going to make a huge difference. Good job. And then the heart math. So that's the stuff you have to look at doing. Okay. Check this. If you check off that you don't give me permission, then I can't answer your questions. Okay. We have Hannah Tigreen. I saw Hannah on earlier. Hannah, are you still there? I saw Hannah on earlier. Looking to lose about 10 pounds. We don't have any lab work yet. Highest fasting is 105. So you're round in the 105, 106 range. Your numbers are going up to 149. 97 was the lowest. So bananas and sweetened coconut milk, not surprising, right? So those are the things to keep out. I think if you just start really following the metabolic reset diet, you're going to see a huge change. 7 hours of sleep, try to get it up to 8. You're spacing your meals okay. Doing a couple of bursts, just start regularly, just start increasing those and start to increase the heart math. Is it unusual to have a higher fasting glucose first thing in the morning than post-meal glucose? Tested 2 mornings now, and both times the fasting was higher than my post-breakfast level. Yeah, it depends on what you ate there, Hannah. She's still there? It depends on what you ate. If you ate a food like a chia porridge, it can actually bring it down. If you ate avocados, it could bring it down. If you ate any of the foods that are on that list that helps with the that we gave you. So yeah, that's not unusual. You're in the area of diabetes here. So we're just going to just keep doing, add the bursts, add a little extra sleep, and add the heart math, and then just stay away from those sweet fruits, foods. I would highly recommend you try to stick to just the green, the stuff in the green side. Yeah. Okay. Just a couple more. Laura, I'm going to check Laura. Okay. Laura has about 30 pounds to lose. Fasting glucose 82, that's fine. A1C is 5.3, a little on the high side. Fasting insulin 4.6, a little on the high side. So you're in that pre-insulin resistant state. The highest fasting you've seen is 107. The lowest is 82 on the lab test after 12 hours fasting. Approximate average is 98. Lowest bedtime is 95. Post-meal, the highest is 138. That's not too bad. Lowest is 110. Okay, so we're just going to try to shoot that down. Approximate average is 120. So you're a little way. Blueberries, watermelon, and treats. Okay, so we know that we're not going to be doing treats during the metabolic reset unless they're treats that are some almond butter with a little bit of coconut and cacao nibs in it, right? So there's a lot of recipes like that, but let's stay away from commercial treats. We're not testing ketones. Yeah, so it sounds like you're waking up in the middle of the night. So working on the sleep. So get into that sleep module. As I said to people earlier, if you don't have access yet to it because you just haven't completed those other modules, which we wouldn't expect you to have at this point, then I would recommend that you cheat the system and just tell it, just go to the end of each of your modules. Go to the end of foundations and click everything off. It'll open up module one. Go to the end of module one and click everything off. And go to the end of module two and three. Click everything off, and then four will open for you, which is sleep. Then you can go back and uncheck everything so that you know that you weren't really up to that point because it could confuse you. It sounds like you're doing a decent amount of spacing between last meal and bedtime, but the hours between meals. Okay, so that's good. Not doing the bursts lately because been sick. Ah, good. You go to a high intensity senior interval class twice a week. That's great. And the heart math breaks, everybody's a little bit low on those, but great that you're doing them. And I would say just go ahead and just let's up them. Okay. No specific questions, just sharing her data. And I'll comment on people's data. Next one is Karen. Karen, you were on the call yesterday and said you had submitted, and I hadn't seen it because you submitted it yesterday, and that's why I didn't see it. Weight, want to lose about 15 pounds, looking for brain focus. Your fasting glucose 70, your A1C 4.9, so on the little on the low side, fasting insulin 1.6. Now you asked me this, Karen, if fasting insulin on 1.6 was problematic. It could be, right? It could be. We won't know it by just looking at fasting insulin. We have to look at postprandial insulin, and another thing you can get tested is C-peptide. So if you get your C-peptide, we'll look at that and see if there's an issue there. But and there's another one. I'm gonna research them a little bit more before I start talking about it. But I was just at a class last weekend, and we were talking about a new marker called GlycoMark, and it seems to be more sensitive than A1C at predicting stuff. So what I'd recommended, and I think I responded to you on Facebook, was to do at about 45 minutes, go in and get your fasting insulin taken, go out to the car and eat breakfast, and then within about 45 minutes to an hour of eating breakfast, you go back in the lab and get it tested again, and to see if it goes up. If it doesn't go up at all, then that says that your pancreas is probably having an issue with producing enough insulin as opposed to insulin resistance, and we'll talk to you about it in a different way. And if it does go up, and sometimes it goes super high, then it's your overproducing insulin. But that's the only way to really tell. If it doesn't go up, then we'd want to determine why. And there are some things that we can do there in terms of testing for antibodies, because there's a condition that people get and they think it's type 2 diabetes, but it's really LADA, latent autoimmune diabetes of adulthood. Okay, so let's see what your... Yeah, 150 is really high and 67 is low. It sounds like you probably are producing enough insulin, and maybe even too much, that your fasting is good, but postprandial is going to be high. just the fact that, you know, you had a high of 150 and lows of 67, that's pretty low for after meal, right? A new marker called glycomark, Janine. Okay. Ketones. Oh my God. You have been keeping yourself in ketosis. 3.6, 2.4, average of 3. Wow. I just caution to make sure that you're eating enough vegetables, because usually when people have that, high a ketone level, then you're going to see some, well, just maybe not eating enough vegetables, because they do have some carb in them and they might bring the ketones down. I generally keep my ketones in the, I don't know, anywhere from 0.5 on a bad day to 2 or 3, right? So yours are pretty consistent. So you're staying in ketosis. How many hours apart? And so that goes back to post meal 67. If you're in ketosis, you know, I'd have to see what exactly the range was there. 8 hours of sleep. That's awesome. 4 to 6 hours between meals, 1 to 3 bursts a day. Just to see if you can get it up a little higher than that. Stress management, 2 to 3 a day, you know, just a little bit higher. What other exercise? Walking the dog. The horse crap out to the end of a 2-acre pasture to dump him back. That's good exercise. Yeah, so the functional range, 2 to 5, yeah. The ideal is actually 2 to 3. And actually, according to Dr. Hopkins, who sees a lot of this, he says the people he's seen that are healthiest had their fasting glucose in the 1. So as long as they respond. It's low, but your glucose A1C numbers are, yeah, I have a feeling you're actually producing a lot after a meal and you're keeping it low like that because of your ketosis. And that's good. So it could be, this could be perfectly great stuff. Yeah, so you're doing way better. You said the last blood test was 2 years ago and the glucose was 111 and the A1C was 5.7. So you're doing something right. Okay, so a few days ago, my calves started cramping. I was already taking magnesium. I always took it at night. Now I'm taking it with the chromium DHA and smaller, and the cramping started. I'll go back to taking some at bedtime, but also look at potentially potassium, because on a low-carbohydrate diet, oftentimes the potassium is low. So I would go back to the way you were taking it, yes. Or you can take it at night and then take another dose during the day. Yeah, I would do that. And then also look at potassium. Okay. All right. Couple more. How you guys doing? Janine is on. I think there's two more. Britt. Hi, Britt. Britt's going to go for about 15 pounds. No lab work. No fasting. Lowest she's ever seen is 74. Highest post meal is 112. That's looking good. Sweet potato and steamed beets, not surprising. No ketone numbers. 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Most nights by 10 on work nights, no later than 11. That's great. Great meal timing. Walking or running 4 flights of stairs. That's awesome. Pilates. Interval training. So it sounds like you got the exercise nailed. And the stress management, 20 minutes of meditation 3 times a week, 60 minutes moving meditation, irregular mini vacation. So start to get consistent for all of you, whatever it is, whether it's heart math or whether it's a little mini meditation or just breathing and appreciation before each meal to get you into the state where you're preparing your body to handle it. All right. That was easy. Who's next? Heidi Zimmerman. Looks like you're trying to lose about 13 pounds, trying to deal with hormonal and digestive balance. Numbers, highest fasting glucose has been 100, lowest is 85, average is 95. So we want to get that down. The goal is over the course of the metabolic reset to get it down. Bedtime at 120. So I'd be looking at what you're doing during that evening meal. Maybe you're overeating. You could be eating a good meal and overeating. Maybe you do need to space it a little bit further because your sugar is still at 120 before you go to bed, and that's pretty high. Whoops, you've gotten up to 170 on high carbohydrate food. So just assuming that you're going to pull those down, because your average is 114. So pull those out, work on increasing the HeartMath before meals, no ketones. Sleep is at 7 hours. See if you can get up to 8. How many hours apart? You're doing well on that. 2 bursts a day, just see if you can up those a little bit. Walking, that's awesome. Gym twice a week and 1 to 2 HeartMath breaks. So yeah, see if you can up those. 1 to 2, make one when you first get up in the morning, one right before you go to bed at night, and then one before each meal. So that would be 4 to 5 depending. Yeah, so I think you're waking up at 90 in the morning. So you're asking, should I be concerned? Concern is doesn't part of this. Be curious because you're still in the testing phase, and now we're going to go into the reset phase, and we're going to get these things to be more consistent. Okay? Yeah, so you're going to bed with it sometimes at 120, and it's trying to go down overnight. So I would be looking at that last meal. The other thing I would look at for those of you who are waking up with the glucose higher than you'd like is to do a two-minute burst about an hour before bedtime, right? Not all out heavy duty, but what you can do in 2 minutes, and that for a lot of folks brings it down. Okay, we're on the last one now. Who's next? Swathi, Kathy Swathi. Okay. Yeah. So you're in Europe, I guess, because your weight is, you're looking to lose about 5 kilos, which is about 10 pounds or a little bit more. Fasting glucose is 90, but your hemoglobin A1C is 4.9. Insulin is 3.48, which is in a good range. So there's not a lot of great data there for me. Highest fasting glucose is 97, lowest is 88. So you're a little high on the fasting glucose, a little high on your bedtime glucose. You're only going up to 117 and foods were lentils and green peas. Let's see. Sleep looks awesome. Meal spacing looks awesome. I would up your HeartMath and up your bursts. And it looks like you're doing weight training and walking. That's great. Just up those. And you can incorporate the bursts into your walking. So if you're walking, you can just suddenly like break out into a run or do a hill or do something more intense and then go back to walking. So you can incorporate 30 seconds of that. Okay. Whew. That's it. So I don't know if anybody's still here. I can't tell because I'm going to go on my computer and see if I can see it on my computer. Let's see if anybody's still there. So let me know if you're still there. Here's Knight. I woke up for following you. Blood sugar is 101. What is it about? What does that mean? Here is Knight. So it's nighttime. You woke up to watch. Blood sugar is 101. What's it about? Well, it could be a stressful thing that you set your alarm to wake yourself up in the middle of the night. Cortisol went up and brought your blood sugar up. Claudia just came on. Hi, Claudia. It looks like. Okay, that's me looking down. I don't know if that's me live. Looks like my face is chopped off. It doesn't look like that on my phone. That's kind of weird. Is my face chopped off at the bottom? Ah! Okay, let me see if I can get that right. Okay, now you're seeing. No, I have to flip it. Oh, no. I might have lost it. Oh, no. There we go. And now it's seeing my piano. All right, how do I finish? How do I flip it back? Ah! Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't want to finish. I don't know how to flip it. I'm afraid to do anything. All right, so I'll go like this. No, how do I do that? How do I do it? I'll do it this way. Let's see if that works. All right, I don't know if that's going to work or not. Oh, okay. You're going to get the circular view. So who's here? Mahela and Janine and Sandy and Claudia. Hi. Lots of comments. Yeah, so I guess we're going to go. There you go. Now you can see me. I'm looking at it here. That's crazy. Okay. I think that'll work. Anyway, we're going to go now. We've been on quite a while. Thank you so much for spending your Friday evening with me. Appreciate that. And whoops, there's me getting you dizzy again. I don't know how to flip it back, and I'm afraid to play with it and lose the connection. So let's see. I don't know. Like that. I don't know. Anyway, guys. Thank you for being here. I appreciate you guys so much. Tomorrow starts the reset. If you have questions, just keep posting them here in the Facebook chat. Fill in your journals and you'll get a response from Lynn or from Pam. And we have somebody else that's going to be coming on in the next week or so to help us with that as well. And I just look forward to hearing from you. I'll pop on here and there just to see how things are going. Won't make it this long, but I wanted to make sure that I didn't leave anybody in the dust who had filled out their form and didn't get response. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you to Amy and to Heidi for putting people's names in the chat. And we'll make sure that we tag those people so they know that their names were there. All right. Bye-bye, everybody. See you soon. Have a fun time and good luck starting tomorrow. Much love. Mwah.
Hey there, everybody.